Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I just can't wait to get to the other side of Easter, the student said. Because when before Easter, we have to do these extra things, like helping with a band, perhaps on Lenten service, or doing extra readings or homilies or whatever. It's a professional hazard of people who are in ministry. I just can't wait to get to the other side of Easter. But what is that other side? Isn't that other side really where we find ourselves? Isn't that other side the only side that we have ever known? And that is that our Lord Jesus lives. He lives, and because of his boldness and the victory which he has over death, it's an amazing time to be alive. Peter says it this way: God has given us the new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. This new birth to a living hope, it's something only people on the other side, or on this side in which we find ourselves, really know what it's all about. This living hope, not a dead hope, not a human hope, but a hope that rests on belief and trust solely in God. That's hope. Most usually in life, we have this Greek concept of hope, this subjective expectation that has to do with how the possibilities for the future really are. What is the projection considering my abilities and the reality of the situation in which I find myself? Only people with grandiosity don't understand the realities and relate them to the abilities. Who will it be, Illinois or University of North Carolina, you see? Hope. Both teams hope. Perhaps we will win. Perhaps we will be the champions. But it has to do with the expectations of the abilities and the realities of life. And there are some circumstances in which there is little or no hope and we have little or nothing to do with it. If we are in Indonesia under the rubble of the recent earthquake, we could hope that someone would find us. And maybe they would find us, and maybe they wouldn't find us. For most of the people were never found alive. They were found, but hope had faded to death. Homeless people, I'm not sure how much hope they have, simply because it's a day-to-day existence, and I'm not sure things get much better. The abilities and the realities don't seem to come together. It's the people like the Donald Trumps who seem to have to be able to get it together and who say, I'm the can-do person, you say. The realities and the abilities come together and there is hope. But for all those times in which the things of life we cannot overcome, that becomes the hope that is living hope. It's hope not built on our aspirations, but hope on what God's ability is to make a difference in this world and to make a difference in our personal lives. God gives living hope because it rests in a living Lord Jesus. It's the culmination of the Old Testament concept of hope, where hope has to do with faith. It's not man's subjective expectations of what I can overcome, but it has to do whether God will deliver, whether God will answer prayer, whether God will fight against the enemy, and whether God will see that the people of God ultimately prevail. Isaiah says it this way: Look at my chosen servant. In him, the nations will hope. They will have hope because there is one who conquers death and destruction and gives hope to the world. That hope is different from all the other hopes in this life because it's God's ability to put things together. A living hope that rests in the fact that God has raised him from the dead and said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. It is living hope because he lives. How do we attain this living hope? Well, Paul Peter says, it's the new birth. The new birth with Jesus. This new birth, this rising in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and saying, I remember my baptism, and I got to start all over again today because I'm still this human being who still has to rest solely on your grace, Heavenly Father. The
person who rises and remembers the temptations and the sins and the frailties and the misfortunes of yesterday and now comes to God again through this living hope, this living Lord Jesus, paying God with this living Lord Jesus and continuing to relate all of life through this living Lord Jesus, this living hope. For if Christ is not raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. That's hope. This living God gives us this living hope, and he promises that through this living Lord Jesus, we will be sustained not only now, we will be sustained in all the trials of life. Peter says to these people to whom he's writing, in this you rejoice, this hope and this unfaded inheritance which is kept for you in heaven. In this you rejoice, even though for a moment, for a little while, you have to suffer grief through all kinds of trials. The people to whom Peter was writing realized the difficulty of having hope in God and yet knowing the difficulty of living in a world that is not always open to this and is not always receptive to this hope. We may have to suffer things in life, but any future affliction, Peter says, for a little while, a short while. In this you rejoice, because just for a little while, though for a little while. It's as Jesus said in Matthew 24 when he talked about the end times and he said, the days are going to be shortened. Don't worry about it. The days will be shortened for the sake of the elect. God has a way of bringing history together, and as he brings together this history, it is for the sake of the elect. It's just that we don't see it or think about it or realize it. So we think that affliction will go on forever or suffering will never end. No, it's just a little while. And still in our hearts we rejoice because of this living hope. There is really no reason ever to ultimately despair. Yes, some things don't work. Some vicarages get very difficult. Sometimes you go to a person on a deathbed and they don't want to be baptized and you can't figure out why not, because you said everything so well. It's the wrestling of life and the sweetness of the first fruits of the Spirit. This is the very first work of faith in this living God. Faith that works to fight against the sin and the fallen world and to slug it out day by day, not thinking that it's an idealistic thing, but that it's right there. Jesus, that living hope, is right there in the midst of the battle, slugging it out with us day by day and ultimately slugging it out, death itself. That's living hope. And it's important that we don't revert back to our own interpretation of life, saying, why did bad things happen to good people? Why did the cancer come back? Why is there still lack of perfection in my life and my ability to serve? Why do I still have frailties and temptations? Why do I have a wife that's not totally with me on this journey in which I intend to go? Why is there difficulty leading as a future deaconess or pastor in the church? Luther says, every now and then, God needs to throw us into the fire, into suffering, disgrace, and misfortune. And in this way, we are purged more and more until we die. And he says, no works can do this for us. End of quote. No amount of exegetical work, no amount of caring for the sick, no amount of preaching dynamic sermons, no amount of doing the works which God has asked us to do, discipling others and trying to be relevant and trying to relate and trying to get the word out. For God afflicts us at times just to prove our faith and just to keep us where he wants us. For the inheritance belongs to the people. And it's only for a short while. It's only now hidden for a time, this inheritance. It's only now, the afflictions are just momentary, just temporary. And if you get affliction or trials out there, just say, this won't last long. Because it doesn't. That's this grace that God offers. And finally, when we close our eyes, we will see if we believe. This hope brings joy because it sees beyond the momentary sufferings to the day when Jesus will be revealed. For you are guarded by God's power until the coming of salvation, says Peter. And that's present tense. You're being guarded, and God's watching over your life, and God's watching over your sufferings and your afflictions and your heartaches and your successes and all those things until the coming of Jesus again. It's hope in the midst of suffering. In fact, hope in the midst of anything. This is a living hope that brings this inexpressible joy and yet glorious joy. Joy that is not always felt, although very often it may be, but it's always there. It's there because, well, really, the big issues of life have been overcome. I have a sister-in-law who's going to be cremated. She says, I want to be cremated when I die. Okay. I have an uncle who gave his body to the University of Iowa so medical students could cut out it and figure out how to serve better humanity. Okay. For the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will come forth and hear his voice. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of death. For Christ Jesus has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. And that resurrection colors and shapes the total perspective of all of our everyday living and our view of the future. It is important that we are always prepared to give an answer to those who ask for this reason of hope within us, this indomitable feeling, this joy, this inner knowing and understanding, this solidity that only comes to the people of God who have living hope in Jesus. Because it's something that's nowhere else. It's only in Jesus, through God's holy word. Set your hope fully on this grace which is to be revealed yet in Jesus. Not only the now, but yet the yet to come. As Paul says, I have a desire to depart and be with Jesus, but I'm not done working yet. Okay. The living hope. The hope that has this inexpressible joy that ultimately will come to fruition when we see him face to face, when he comes on the horizon, and every eye will see and know that it was not just an ideal or a concept or even a special day. It was Jesus standing outside the tomb and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus watching over his whole holy church. Jesus cleansing it from the inside out. Jesus working through our life and upholding us in time of affliction. Jesus giving us this living hope which can never be overcome. Just because he's Jesus. And that's why sometimes we just can't wait to get to the other side of Easter. Amen.